I do have a couple of weddings that I'm going to have to go back for this week, so night shiurim are going to be a little iffy. Tonight I will be able to give shiur b'ezras Hashem. Tomorrow night, yes, Tuesday and Wednesday night look a little bit more iffy because I have weddings on both Tuesday night and Wednesday night in New Jersey. It's a question of when I'll be able to get back by, so I'm not sure yet. It looks like for sure Wednesday night there won't be a shiur. Tuesday night, or at least I won't be giving one. I don't know if there's anyone. Maybe I have Rabbi Penner give. Rabbi Penner's going to be here this week. Oh, so maybe he'll give a night shiur. Post night seder and night shiur. I'll do night shiur then.
That's really
wrong. That is very wow. Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's play it by ear. And then I do plan on giving a regular shiur on Thursday. So I hope to have almost a full week this week. But Ezras Hashem Yisbarach. So hopefully it'll be a good week. We'll make it count, and then you guys can go home and get ready to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's exciting stuff. Baruch Hashem. I'm going to apologize in advance. First of all, apologize not in advance, just apologize for not giving you Mar Makomos today, and then apologize in advance for I do have notes on this stuff because I have learned it before, but I did not get a chance to look at my notes at all before today's shiur, so we'll see if we can work on the sugyas together a little bit. It's only like the most complicated part of Asur B'Chalam, so we'll see if we could figure it out together a little bit. So let's get started. So we started Siman Tzadi Beis last time. If you recall, we gave a basic introduction to the idea of bittul b'shishim, bittul of tam, and when we rely on a kfela, when we rely on a taster, on a non-Jewish taster. And we pointed out that Svardim do rely on a non-Jewish taster, Ashkenazim do not rely on a non-Jewish taster to taste if it has anything in it. But we pointed out that quirk that the Achronim point out, that an Ashkenazi is allowed to rely on a Sephardi, who in turn is allowed to rely on a non-Jewish taster. So all of that we did last time. Now we're going to get into the Indian of Chanan. Chanan stands for, it's an intriguing of Chaticha Naasis Nevela. So Chaticha Naasis Nevela is one of the most important concepts in all of Yeridaya. There is a Gemara in Maseches Chulin on Daf Kuf Ches Amar Aleph, where the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav, Kivan Shenasan Tam B'Chaticha, Chaticha Atma Naaseis Nevela. Kuf Ches Amar Aleph. The Rav tells us, once something not kosher has provided tam into a chaticha, into a piece of meat, that piece of meat itself becomes nevela. What do you mean nevela? It's kosher meat. You bought it at a kosher supermarket at a big OU with a chassidus shechita and 18 different hashkachas. Yeah, yeah. But since it was cooked together with pig, and now, or together with nevela, and now it has tam of nevela in that kosher meat, chaticha atzma nasnis nevela. We view that entire chaticha as if it itself is nevela. So when hot milk falls onto hot meat, and there isn't shishim in the meat to be mevatel the milk, now you have a cheftza of basar b'chalav, and the entire piece becomes asr. Certainly by basar b'chalav, that we don't say, oh no, the only part that's asr is the milk that's in there. That's the isr. But the meat is okay. No, the whole piece, the whole thing becomes the isr. The combination of the basar and the chalav becomes the isr. So the piece of meat now falls into a pot with a whole bunch of other pieces of meat, and you're trying to calculate shishim. What do you calculate shishim keneged? Shishim keneged what? Not just the milk, but shishim keneged the entire chaticha. So if 1 ounce of milk falls into a 12-ounce steak, and gets cooked together, now how much nevela do you have? How much isra do you have? 13 ounces. And therefore, if that falls into 100 other ounces of meat, of kosher meat, we do not say, oh, now the milk is batel and now it's okay. No, we say that you have 13 ounces of nevela, 13 ounces of non-kosher food, and therefore it is not going to become batel. That is the principle called chaticha naasis nevela. That once something becomes aser, it absorbs the tam of iser, the entire piece becomes iser. So if that piece of meat falls into a pot with a lot of other pieces of meat, you need 60 times that piece of meat, not just 60 times the milk that's absorbed in the piece of meat. That's called chaticha naasis nevela. The entire thing becomes treif. Good? Are we clear so far? This is like the aleph base.
When Rabbi was saying, Bata B'Shishim used ounces, is it a weight
Volume. We're going to assume volume. Yeah, volume is a calculation. Now, the tour brings a machlokas about whether chaticha nas nevela is dafka dinin basa b'chalav or applies in shari surim as well. That's a discussion that the tour has in Simit Sadi Beis over here. And the tour writes, Upasak harav Rabbeinu Ephraim, delo amrinon efshar l'sochto aser, Ella bebasar bechalav, avul b'shari surim kigon kizayis chaylev shenivla bechadicha ve'in bashishim levatlo v'nesra v'acharkach bashlo emacheros ein sarach alashishim kidei kizayis harishon v'az afilu achadicha atzma chazer siyos mitares v'rabbeinu tam pasak da'af b'shari surim efshar l'sochto aser. The Torah uses a phrase called efshar l'sochto. But let's just explain what the Torah just did over here. The Torah brings a machlokas if the din of chaticha nas nevela applies only to basar b'chalav, or it applies to other isurim as well. For example, let's say chazer, pig fat, falls into a piece of meat, and that piece of meat falls into another pot. Do you need 60 times the amount of pig fat, or do you need 60 times the amount of the entire piece of meat that absorbed the pig fat? Right? That is the discussion. So Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim. Anyone know anything about Rabbeinu Ephraim? He's most famous for the drinking on Purim Psak. Exactly. They don't drink on Purim because he's the one that says, if I'm not mistaken, that the Gemara tells us that the story of Kam Rabba Shachtel Rabbi Zeira, right, Dafka right after Chayiv Nishal Vesume, to say, see what happens when you get drunk? You can end up shechting all your friends and then you're going to have to rely on Tchias HaMesim in order to bring them back. Right, that's the famous Rabbeinu Ephraim. Less famous, but as far as I'm concerned, even crazier, even more, even more unusual. Rabbeinu Ephraim has a parish on Chumash. They found the Ksavim of Rabbeinu Ephraim. It's been published, Rabbeinu Ephraim on Chumash. And you can look this up. I have it at home. I bought the Sefer just because I knew about this Vart. On Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov is blessing all of his children, and he says about Binyamin, all of his children, rather, and Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrov. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says, why is Binyamin like a wolf? What does it mean he's like a wolf that tears apart? He says, well, you know, there is this kind of creature that when there's a full moon, every once in a while, a human being turns into a wolf-like creature and can become very dangerous. He describes a werewolf. And he says that Binyamin, that's why Yaakov was so afraid to let him go. He didn't want to let him go because he knew that Binyamin was a werewolf. So that, I thought, that's an old-timer, no? Like, that's Rabbeinu Ephraim as well. It's in Rabbeinu Ephraim ala Torah. Unclear whether unclear to me because I don't know anything, whether the belief in werewolf was something that was common in those times or like where in the world he got that, but he understood Binyamin's Avitrov in a very literal sense. So Rabbeinu Ephraim is one of the Gedolei Harishonim, and he says that the din of Chaticha Nas Nevela, now Chaticha Nas Nevela sounds much less exciting, right? Once you have those other two Pesachim of Rabbeinu Ephraim. But Rabbeinu Ephraim says that this is what he's most famous for, actually, this Shita Bechatikah Nasavela, meaning in the world of, in the Torah world, this is his most important Shita, right? This is the Shita that everyone talks about. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says that the din of Chaticha Nas Nevela does not apply to Shari Surim. It is Dafka Adin in Basar B'Chalav. If milk and meat mix, the problem is not with the milk nor with the meat, but with the combination of both ingredients. And therefore, it's the combination that becomes us, or it's the combination that becomes the Nevela. So when they join together, it creates a Cheftza of Basar B'Chalav. But by Shari Surim, you could identify what the problem is. Meaning if a kazayis of a chazer falls into your kosher steak, the problem is not your kosher steak. The problem is the chazer. And since you could identify exactly which one is the problematic item, and you know that it's the chazer, so you could vait or be mevatel that chazer as long as you have 60 times that chazer. You don't need 60 times. Let's just get through the machlokas, then we'll get to. So you don't need 60 times the entire piece. As long as you can identify, which ingredient is the problematic ingredient. And therefore, the item that is the davar hamutter remains mutter, It's just that it's going to be usher so long as it's mixed with the davar usher. So you have your 12-ounce steak, 1 ounce of chazer shmelz gets into your 12-ounce steak. You now have 13 ounces, but there's chazer shmelz all over it. So of course you're not allowed to eat it. But if you then mix that with 50 more ounces of kosher steak, now the chazer shmelz is batel, because that original 12-ounce steak was mutter and is mutter. It's just that so long as it has the tam of chazer in it, it's going to be aser, tam ki yikr. So it's going to be aser as long as the tam of chazer shmelz is in it. But once you're able to mix it with more kosher meat, you have more than a 60-to-1 ratio of kosher steak kineged the chazer. That is shitas Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the principle of chaticha nasas nevela, that which in put in other terms, Efshar l'sochto aser, efshar l'sochto, what's schita? To squeeze out, right? If you're able to draw out the iser from the mutter item, right, is the mutter item now going to become mutter again? Or do you say that no, it became aser and it remains aser? So says Rabbeinu Ephraim, efshar l'sochto by shari surim, if you're able to draw out the iser from the mutter item, mutter. So the item's going to be mutter. How do you draw out the iser? By having a situation of bittel, where you have more than 60 times kosher to non-kosher. That is shitas Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam holds chaticha nas nevela applies to shari surim as well. However, even though Rabbeinu Tam says it applies to shari surim as well, the Ran points out that even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim is at least only a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa, meaning mi d'oraisa, chaticha nas nevela only happens by basar b'chalav. But the rabbanan thought that basar b'chalav might be confused with shari surim, and therefore the rabbanan applied the principle of chaticha nas nevela to shari surim as well. Other Rishonim, Tosfos, and others seem to suggest that chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim is d'oraisa, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So this is the fundamental machlokas. Essentially, it's three shitos. Rabbeinu Ephraim, chaticha nas nevela is only by basar b'chalav, not by shari surim. Rabbeinu Tam, that it's even by shari surim, but two ways of understanding that the fact that it applies to shari surim, the way the Ran understands, is only a din midrabanan. The way the Balei Tosfos seem to understand that it's a din d'oraisa. Now, the thing is, Rabbeinu Ephraim's svara is pretty compelling. You know, there's much more reason to say chaticha misvara, right? That chaticha nas nevela by basar b'chalav. Because here you have two things that are totally mutter. Basar is mutter, chalav is mutter. It's only the combination of the two that creates an iser. So of course, you're going to say that the whole thing becomes, why would you identify one as the usher item and the other one not? It's the combination of the two that creates the iser. So they become an iser. So I understand why you'd say chaticha nas nevela by basar b'chalav. It doesn't make as much sense by shari surim. Meaning Rabbeinu Ephraim's svara is a good svara. By shari surim, I know that chazer is problematic. Kosher steak with 18 ashkachas on it is not problematic. So why would you assume that the whole kosher steak becomes this cheftza shel iser? So in order to understand the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz, in his Mata Yehonasan, explains that Rabbeinu Tam holds that if you have, let's say, kosher soup that chazer falls into, and you don't have shishim in the soup, kineged the chazer, and you eat a kezayis of that soup, of that chalent, or whatever it is that it fell into. So chayv malkus or not chayv malkus? Meaning just a little bit of chazer fell into one ounce of chazer fell into 59 ounces of chalent. So there's tam of chazer in your entire chalent, right? You need 60 to be mivatzel, so there it was only 59. There's tam of chazer in your entire chalent. And you eat a kezayis of that chalent. So what do we say? Do we say, well, you only ate 1/59th of a kezayis of chazer, and therefore you're not going to get malchus, chatzi shiras min haTorah, but you're not going to get malchus? Or do we say, no, you ate a kezayis of iser, because there's tam of chazer throughout the entire chalent. So the halacha is, you're chayv malchus, even though you only ate a fraction of a kezayis of the actual chazir. And the Rosh explains that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the reason you're chayiv is because of a principle called tam, what's the other word? Ke'ikr. That once the flavor of something is as penetrated into a kosher food, wherever that flavor can be detected, it's as if it is the ikr, the isser itself. Even though you don't have the actual isser, you only have tam of the isser, wherever the tam of the isser is penetrated, that is ki ikr. We view that as the isser, as the usher food itself. That's the principle called tam ki ikr, meaning the heter becomes isser because the heter is infused with tam of isser. The sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that you get malchus on each kezayis of the chalent is now very mistaver that chaticha nasan veil b'shari surim, meaning tam ki ikr clearly applies to shari surim. And maybe it's the same thing as Chaticha Nas Nevela, meaning Tam Kikr is very similar to Chaticha Nas Nevela. If you're going to say that wherever the Tam has penetrated becomes the Isser, to the point that I'm even Chayv Malkus for eating it, so it's very mistaver that you're going to say that the whole thing now becomes Nevela. There is another sheet of the Ravid who holds that Chaticha Nas Nevela is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, but we hold that there's no such thing as Chaticha Nas Nevela b'chlal. La'alacha, we reject the Ravid, so we assume for sure by Basu B'chlal is Chaticha Nas Nevela. Just if you ever hear that there might be a sheet in Rishonim that rejects the entire principle of Chaticha Nas Nevela, there is such a sheet. There is such shita that even though Rav points out in the Gemara Chaticha Nas Nevela, that's Shelo Alib Dehilchasa. It's according to a Tana that we don't hold like. So just to have that in the back of your mind, that such a shita exists, but that for sure we don't hold like. So good, so just to quickly review before we take questions, we have this principle called Chaticha Nas Nevela, the Gemara Chulim Kuf Chesam and Aleph, which means that when Isser affects a Davar HaMutter, the entire Davar HaMutter becomes the Nevela, becomes the Davar HaAsser, and therefore in order to affect Bittul, you need 60 times the entire Taroves, not just 60 times the original Isser. The Torah quoted this Machlokas, Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam. Is this only a din by Basar B'chalav, or is it a din by Shari Surim? Rabbeinu Ephraim's Svara was that it should be only a din by Basar B'chalav, because after all, it's only by Basar B'chalav that you're not able to identify the problematic source, the Davar HaAsser, because they're both independently Dvarim HaMutarim, but by Shari Surim, where you're able to identify the problematic source, it's the Chazer, it's the Nevela, it's the Behemoth Tameya, it's the Treifa, right? You're able to identify the problematic source, then we're not going to say Chaticha Nas Nevela, whereas Rabbeinu Tam says that you're still going to say Chaticha Nas Nevela b'Shari Surim, Machlokas, whether he means that on a Daraisa level or a Drabanan level. And the way Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz explains Rabbeinu Tam is that Chaticha Nas Nevela is just another way of saying Tam Ki Ikr. That once anyway you're going to say Tam Ki Ikr, that when you eat a kezayis of chalent that's laced with Tam, of Chazer, of Behemoth Tameya, of Nevela, of whatever, right, of Trefa, once you're going to eat kosher, a kezayis of kosher food that's laced with the tam, you're going to say that on Michaev Malkus for that? So Mela makes sense to say Chaticha Nas Nevela. Now, questions.
The definition of Hanan is Mutter combining with an Asar. So in the case of Basar B'chalav, you'll find that they're both Mutter.
Hanan doesn't mean Mutter combining, it means that the entirety of the thing is Isser. Right? We view the whole, not just a measure of. Meaning, I might have thought that if I have a 12-ounce steak and an ounce of milk, you know, goes into the 12-ounce steak, so the milk is the problem. You know, the steak was good, and then the milk creates the problem. Right? That would be that you would look at the rove and say, okay, the rove is what I really have, and then, whatever. So the Chaticha Nas Nevela says, no, that's not the way to look at it. The whole thing is the problem. The combination of the two is the problem. Right? I was using the term Davar HaAsser, not loved up, right?
But Judah. Chaticha Nas Nevela is just a shorash of Tam Ki Ikr. And once you mix this one kezayis of the steak into a big pot of meat, then there's no more tam.
There's tam of the steak, though. Meaning, once this steak becomes a chefta shel iser, so now as long as there's tam of the steak in the next taroves, it's going to be a problem. Even though you won't have a tam of the nevela that went into the steak. but once this becomes a chetzer shel iser, meaning tam ke'ikr, the way Yonasai just explained it, Rabbeinu Tam, tam ke'ikr means it's mamish ke'ikr. Once it has tam, we now take the whole thing and say this is neveila. Now this steak is no longer with a kasher shechita, and now it's neveila, and therefore it falls into a chalent. It's still going to give tam into the chalent unless there's 60 times the whole piece of steak. The chaticha atzma na'aseis nevela means that the whole piece becomes not kosher. Nevela is just an expression to describe that which is like prototypical not kosher, right? Instead of saying chaticha atzma na'aseis basar b'chala, you say chaticha atzma na'aseis.
Even though that's the
expression that we use, it doesn't apply to according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. Well, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, it only applies to basar b'chala. Doesn't apply to nevela, right?
What does that mean that we can't recognize the source?
There's no iser. Everything started out as heter. There's meat that was mutter, milk that was mutter. Where's the problem?
Is it a physical seeing?
The problem, no. It means you didn't start with any iser. So it was all kosher. Whereas when you have chazer that makes its way into your chalent, the thing with the snout, that's the problem.
Is what about, if we hold that it applies to other iser muscle, then what about like a regular nevela? Then it looks like it's...
No, that's not... You can identify what the issue is.
Why would it be a fragment of chal between like a question of chal versus gravy from a chazer?
Gravy from a chazer? Again, nikkur doesn't mean that you could see it with your eyes. It means that there was something that was usser before a tarovis was created. Before there was any combination, this was usser. So this is going to be problematic. If you have a tub of gravy that says glot treif, right? So that's the isser. Even if it doesn't say glot treif, but you know it's just ground up chazer. That's the isser. Whereas when you have in my fridge right now, in my thing, after all the grime that the people who stayed there over the weekend left, you know, when you peel through all that. So there's a bottle of milk that they also left there, and then there's the Shabbos leftovers that I brought from home, some delicious London broil, right? So now the bottle of milk says dvash on it, right? So, but it's milk; it just says dvash. I don't know why, but that's the from a company. So the bottle of milk is kosher. The London broil from Levy Baron, Five Towns, super kosher, right? It's under the vat of the Five Towns, right? So it's very, very kosher. So you have two very kosher items. Each one independently is kosher. That's what it means, that there's no source of the iser. The iser is only the combination of the two. Whereas if the people who stayed there left a bottle of treif gravy, and then it mixes with my London broil meat from Levy Baron, so that would be I know where the problem is. The problem wasn't what I brought there. The problem is what they left there. It's not that you have to see, it's not about seeing. I'm just using that expression. It's that there's an iser. That you don't have two dvarim hamutarim, that there's a clear isser that's affecting a dvar hamutar.
But if that gravy would make it awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
How would Rabbeinu Ephraim understand Tom Kicker?
How would Rabbeinu Ephraim understand Tom Kicker? Tom Kicker, what do you mean? When you eat a kazayas of it.
The meal falls into piece of meat, then it comes to Kicker.
So long as it still has the tam. Once it doesn't have the tam of nevela in it, then you no longer apply tam kikr. So if that 12-ounce steak now falls into 50 other ounces of kosher meat, so it no longer has tam of nevela, and therefore, because one ounce of nevela, let's start again. 1 ounce of nevela falls into a 12-ounce steak. Now that whole steak is laced with tam nevela. Those 13 ounces now fall into 50 more ounces of kosher meat. Now it's all mixed together, all cooked together. You can no longer detect the tam of nevela anywhere in this mixture. So there's no tam of nevela.
Putting that piece of steak into the bigger mixture makes the tam not kicker anymore.
Right. Makes it, because there's no tam.
Right.
It takes away the tam. Yeah. Okay, so that we discussed last time a little bit, whether it's a din in shishim, a din in tam. Pashas is shishim is a simple way to measure tam. But sometimes you can have something that's more than shishim, but so pashas is din in tam, and I don't want to get bogged down with that. Yeah.
What would be the
Safek? It's always an easy one, right? If you're Makadish Nisha, I'll manas that it's a Dindaraisa. So then, right, that's the. I remember when I was in Keren B'Yavne, someone asked Rav Stav. We had a question and answer session with Rav Stav and the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva is like a big, big Zionist. And Rav Stav lived in Chevron, he's a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman, he lived in Kol Torah, he's a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So, you know, different kind of background, different time, you know, than the Rosh Yeshiva. So they had a question and answer session with the two of them. So someone said, is Medinas Yisrael the Rosh Yisrael Smichas Gula Sein? So, and the question is for Rav Stav. So they were putting him in like a difficult position in front of his boss. So he said, I remember by the Rebbe, he always said by Rav Shlomo Zalman, he said, I remember someone asked him this question, and he said, L'may nafkamina. And the person said, if I'm a Kaddish Nisha, I'm an Ast, and Medinas Yisrael, as Rashi Smigel Skul Hussein, I'm a Kaddashas, I'm a Kaddashas. So that was, so he got out of it with the joke, and then he didn't ultimately answer the question. okay, so how do we paskin in this machlokas? Shulchan Aruch and Se'if Dalit over here, paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Chatich Nas and Vela Bashari Surim. So, if pig fat falls on a piece of kosher meat, and then that piece of meat fell into a chalent, you only need 60 times the chazer schmaltz that originally fell in. If you have 60 times the chazer schmaltz, Rav Shachter, whenever he gives an example of chayv adam lomer blashon rabo, I don't know if he still does this, but when I was in the shir, whenever he gave an example of anything not kosher, chazer schmaltz. Everything was chazer schmaltz. So, you know, it could be a non-kosher candy. It's chazer schmaltz. Everything is called chazer schmaltz. So if chazer schmaltz falls into a piece of it, chazer schmaltz is Yiddish for pig fat. Okay, good? Yeah, just Yiddish 101. Okay, so if chazer schmaltz falls into a piece of meat, and then that piece of meat falls into a chalent, and there's 60 times in the chalent keneged the chazer schmaltz, even the original piece of meat that absorbed the chazer schmaltz is going to be mutter. Let's see that in Shulchan Aruch.
So it's good to see that side again. I don't know if you guys looked yet at some Sadi Reis a little bit, but Se'if Dalit. There's a long Ramah on this, but Lo Amru Chaticha Atzvenas Zavela Ela Bibasa Mechalav Avelo Bishari Surim Kigon, kizayis chelev, the kizayis of chazer schmaltz, shenivla bechaticha, that gets absorbed into a piece of meat, of kosher meat. Ve'ein bashishim levatlo, the kosher meat does not have 60 times to the chazer schmaltz, v'nasra, and therefore that kosher meat becomes not kosher, to the point that even if you eat a kizayis of it, you can be chayv malkus. But v'achar kach bishlo imacheros, but then you cook that steak with other pieces of meat, Ain tsarich elishishim kedei kezayis chelev. You only need 60 times the chazer schmaltz. Va'az afilu chaticha atzma chazer sios mcheres. And then even that original steak that had the chazer schmaltz absorbed in it will go back to becoming mutter. That is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. It's a little bit of a problem because in Simen Kuvav, the Shulchan Aruch is going to say that the original piece of meat that absorbed the chazer schmaltz actually remains usser. So that's a problem. It's a little bit of a stira in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shach gives this pashta answer. The Shach in Sifkatan, Yod Aleph over here, gives the answer. And he says, Tema dilkaman reishim and kufav kasav da chaticha atzma omedes biyisura, that the original chaticha that absorbed the chazer schmaltz remains usser. Right? Lefisha iser sheba enu niflat mimena legamri. Because whatever chazer schmaltz was absorbed in that original piece is never going to be fully ejected from that original piece. Ad kal neshona. Varav bahagosham haven shem dvarim sosrim ze ezeh. And the Ramah understands that this is a direct stira. Ukedei shelo yistru advarim ze ezeh. In order not to make the Mechaber be Soser himself so explicitly, nearly Yashev. I think we could be Miyashev as follows. The Masha Kosav Kan, Ratzalomar, Levisha Kosav Mikodem Gabi Basar Bechalav, Da'afta Arot of Mutu Beshishim, Mikol Mako Machaticha Bi Isura Omedas, The Maisuru Uyel Eskabi, Veina Makira, Eina Betela Be'ela. Bekamash Malan de Ein Kain Bishari Surim, Ella de Batil Barog Shena Makira, Kivide Nisr Machmas Atzma,
Meaning, essentially, what he's telling us is what the shach is being miyashev is that over here the Shulchan is talking about a case where you no longer recognize the piece of meat that absorbed the pig fat, so you're going to permit all of them because you can't even find it. It looks just like all the other pieces of meat. Whereas in the case where you can identify which piece of meat had absorbed the pig fat, so go ahead, take that one out. That's what the Shulchan was talking about in Siman Kof Vav. If you know which piece actually absorbed the pig fat, so remove it. But if you don't know which one absorbed the chaz v'shmals, and they all look exactly the same in the challenge, so then you don't have to remove it. I have a note on the side of my Shulchan Aruch to look in the crazy place here. That over here we're talking about, Placey apparently says, we have to look it up, who's the crazy Placey?
Yonah
Sanchez. So apparently the crazy Placey writes that over here we're talking about min bimino, to midal raisa batal baro. And that's why we're meko, as opposed to the kaman in kuvav, we're talking about min b'she'eno mino, which requires shishim on a dar raisa level. Okay, that's a different ma'alech. It followed good if you didn't, also fine. So now, that's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. So again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim that Chaticha Nas Nevela is only by Basar B'Chalav, not by Shar Isur. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says that if you hold Efshal L'Sochto Mutter, then you cannot hold Chaticha Nas Nevela. What does that mean? What's Efshal L'Sochto Mutter? Remember, if you're able to draw the time out, the piece will go back to being Mutter, then that precludes the possibility of saying Chaticha Nas Nevela. Because if the piece itself can become Mutter just by taking the Isser out of it, right, then it means that the piece isn't really a Chefza Shel Isser. But the Gemara never says that if you hold Ein Chaticha Nas Nevela, that you necessarily hold Efshal L'Sochta Mutter. It never says in the other direction. Meaning it could be that you hold Ein Chaticha Nas Nevela, but Efshal L'Sochto is still Asr. That even after you draw out the Tam, the original Chaticha is Asr. So in Basar B'Chalav, there's no issue, because Chaticha Nas Nevela is Daraisa, and Efshal L'Sochto is Asr by Basar B'Chalav. Right, that there's no doubt. But by Shari Surim, if we pass like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Chaticha Nas Nevela B'Shari Surim, what does that mean as far as Efshal L'Sochto is concerned? Would the Chaticha itself become Mutter? I mean, the Gemara never told us clearly what the equation would be. It could be that you hold that Chaticha does not become Nevela. As far as, what does Chaticha Nas Nevela mean? As far as measuring Shishim. That when you need to measure Shishim, you're not going to have to measure Shishim against the whole Chaticha. But it could still be that Efshal L'Sochto Asur. That to actually eat that Chaticha, to actually enjoy that Chaticha, it's not going to be enough to just draw out the Isser from it. That's not clear in the Gemara, meaning it's possible that that piece is always going to be Isser, but to be Mevatelit, meaning as is, if you leave it as is, even if you draw out the Tam, it's always going to be Isser, but if you're Mevatelit, you're only going to need Shishim Kneged, that which is in it. So one second, let me just get through this explanation of the Mechaber. So the question is, what is the halacha as far as Efshal L'Sochto? So the Torah writes, Efshal L'Sochto is Mutter. Meaning that since we say like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Chaticha Nas Nevela by Shari Surim, it's only by Basar B'Chalav, so Mele, Efshal L'Sochto is Mutter. Meaning those align perfectly. The idea of Efshal L'Sochto Mutter fits very well with Ein Chaticha Nas Nevela. Do we get, before you get further questions, do we get why those two things align with each other? Right? Efshal L'Sochto Mutter means that if you could draw out the problem from it, the rest of the piece becomes Mutter. Which seems to be an indication that the rest of the piece, that the original piece of kosher steak, is not fundamentally problematic. Right? Is not a piece of Nevela. And that's what the Torah assumes, that the two have to go hand in hand. However, the Rashba thinks that Rabbeinu Ephraim would hold Efshal L'Sochto Asr. Now, why would the Rashba think Efshal L'Sochto Asr, even if there's no Chaticha Nas Nevela by Shari Surim? So there are two ways to understand the Rashba. The Rashba presents both of these ways himself. One in the Torah Sabayis HaAruch and the other in the Torah Sabayis HaKotzer. Torah Sabayis is like the Rashba's Sefer on Yeridaya. Right, so it says halacha sefer in Yeridaya. So he has the Torah Sabayis HaAruch, the Torah Sabayis HaKatzer. There's a sefer called Bedek Habayis, Familiar with Bedek Habayis? What's that? Who is it? The Ra'a. The Ra'a wrote the Bedek Habayis, which is a critique of the Torah Habayis. You get it? Right? Torah Habayis, and the Ra'a is saying, I'm going to be Bodek, your Bayis. I'm going to search out all the problems in the Bayis. The Rashba then defended himself in a sefer called Mishmeres Habayis. So he says, I'm protecting my house. You can't come in here and start causing problems in my house. So the Rashba in the Torah Habayis HaAruch and the Torah Habayis HaKatzar presents two different versions of why he holds that even though we don't say Chatich Nas Nevela B'Shari Surim, we don't say Chatich Nas Nevela by Nevela and Treifa and Chazar, whatever, by Mehmetmeh, we're still going to say Efshal L'Sokhto Asim. One explanation that he gives is Efshal L'Sokhto Asur because of a basic mitzias, that the assumption of Bitl B'Shishim is an even disbursement. When the Nevela first went into one piece, it's hard to assume that that time is evenly dispersed with all the rest of the pieces. Meaning, a Kazayas Nevela goes into a 12-ounce steak. Then that 12-ounce steak, saturated with Tam Nevela, falls into a chalent. Do you honestly think that the rest of the chalent is going to have as strong a Tam of Nevela as that original steak? Meaning it was first to absorb. It absorbed that Chazer Shmaltz before any of the other the rest of the chalent absorbed the Chazer Shmaltz. It's not going to be evenly dispersed. Bittul B'Shishim relies on the fact that the Tam is evenly dispersed throughout the whole thing. So you have Shishim, Kenega, the Nevela, so it'll be Mevatalit. So says the Rashba, yeah, we'll say Bittul B'Shishim on that Nevela when there's a lot of other Chalent in the pot. We're going to assume that there's no Tam Nevela in the rest of that Chalent. But that original piece, I have to assume that there's still enough Nevela in there that you're going to be able to taste it. I have to assume that even Efshal L'Sokhto, even if you mix it with a whole bunch of other stuff and you would think that you've drawn out the Isser, that piece remains Asr because it has the lion's share of that Tam Nevela in it. We don't know the exact measurement, but we don't know like how much Tam Nevela it has, but enough that it's much worse off than the rest of the Chalent. That is the Shita, that is the one explanation the Rashba gives. The other explanation that Rashba gives is not a Metzius argument. You see, that's an argument to Metzius, right? I mean, he's saying, the facts are, the first thing to absorb is going to have the strongest taste. Everything else, that's going to be not so strong. The second argument is a halachic argument. It's not a Metzius argument. It's a halachic way of looking at it. That once something is not nispatel, you have a tarovis, you have a mixture, and it does not become batel, even if the tam is drawn out of the original chaticha, as long as any tiny amount of that original tam remains, even less than shishim, it's going to be awesome. Meaning, if I have a little bit of chazer shmatz that falls into a giant vat of chicken soup, it's all kosher. It all fell in and became batel b'shishim immediately. Right? You have a thousand times the chazer shmatz in the giant vat of chicken, it became batel immediately. To create an Isser, to have the original chalos of an Isser, to create an Isser, an entire tarobes, you need to attack that kosher food with more than 1/60th of non-kosher. But what if something is already Isser? To rid itself of the Isser, you would need to get every last drop of Isser out of it, not just 1/60th. If it already is usher, to get rid of that isser, you would need to pull out every last ounce, every last drop of the isser. So if an ounce of chazer shmaus falls into a 12-ounce steak, usher, that steak is usher. Now that 12-ounce steak gets mixed in with 50 other ounces of kosher steak, it's going to be evenly dispersed. That 1 ounce of chazer shmaus is now evenly dispersed among 62 ounces of steak. So the other 50 ounces of steak are kosher, because it's batel b'shishim. But that original steak was treif before this tarovas ever happened. And in order to kasher that original steak, you don't just need to have shishim, you need to draw out every last molecule of the isser, which is impossible to do. So efshal l'sokhto means you can squeeze out the tam to the point that it's less than shishim. But kol zman that you can't draw every drop of tam out, since it's not nisbatel b'tchilas ha-tarovus, it did not become batel when the tarovus was originally created, you cannot apply the laws of bittel at a later time. Just give me 2 more minutes and we'll take questions. You cannot apply the laws of bittel at a later time. This idea is probably based on a... first, nafkamina. Nafkamina between these two mahalchim. Let's say a guy tastes the chalent, and he tells you that there's no tam. He says, I can't taste any nevela. He says, I love chazer shmaltz. This chalent would benefit from chazer shmaltz. There's no chazer shmaltz in here. Can't taste the chazer shmaltz. According to the first mahalich, and he tasted the original chaticha. He cuts up a little piece of the original chaticha. Wait, there's no chazer shmaltz in here. So according to the first mahalich, what would you say? Again, what was the first mahalich? That it's based on the assumption that the original chaticha has more chazer shmaltz, has a higher concentration, and therefore there's no bittel in that original chaticha. But if a guy tastes it and tells you that it doesn't taste it, then guess what? It's good, it's batel. But if you hold like the second mahalich of the Rashba, it's not a matter of metzias, it's a matter of halacha. That original chaticha, I don't care if it's 1,000th of the chaticha. Once that chaticha was usher once, there's no way to ever kasher because there's no way to draw out every single molecule of iser. So even if the guy tells me I can't taste it, I don't care that he can't taste it. It might be batel in 1,000. It doesn't matter. As long as there's one tiny molecule of iser in there, then it's problematic. This second mahalich might be based on a din d'oraisa. There's a Tosfos in Nida, Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis, that discusses a wool beged within which you lost a chut shel pishtan. The only other is in the Torah, by the way, that involves two mutter things, and you put them together, and all of a sudden you have iser. Right? Semer pishtan, klayim. Two mutter things, you put them together, and you have iser. So Tosfos discusses, I have a wool suit, 100% wool, it says in the label, 100% wool. And somehow, a chut shel pishtan, a pishtan strand, a linen strand, got lost somewhere in the beged. So you can't wear the beged. So Tosfos asks, why didn't you say the pishtan is batel? So say it's batel. The whole big beged, it's a huge suit. I'm a pretty fat guy, so my suit is big enough. So why not say that pishtan, that it's totally batel? So some Rishonim say that the kasha is not a kasha. There's no bittel of a davar mutter, meaning pishtan is mutter. So you can't be mevatel a davar mutter. It could be that a davar aser has characteristics of iser, and those characteristics of iser become batel. But heter is just the absence of iser, so there's no characteristic to be batel. And that's the discussion in the Tshuvas Oneg Yom Tov in Simen Dalit about bittel of a string that's not tavu lishma, and many strings that are tavu lishma are bittel matzah she'eino shmura, and many matzahs shmuros. It could be that bittel doesn't work on something that itself is a davar mutter, that doesn't have any characteristics of iser. One mahal. Tosfos suggests that there's no bittel because the very nature of the iser is the tarovas of heter beheter. I mean, you can't have bittel because you're mixing heter with heter. And whenever you're mixing heter with heter, there's not going to be any bittel. What's the obvious kash on that? Basa b'chalav. So the rest is, what are you talking about? Basa b'chalav. Like the whole thing, like everyone gives the example of a little drop of milk falls into your chicken soup, falls into your chalent. What do you mean that there's no bittel on something when it's heter v'heter? So the Rush answers that ain't a chinami. There's no bittel by basa b'chalav. What? He says, no, there's no such thing as bittel by basa b'chalav. The reason a drop of milk is not a problem in a large pot of meat is that it's not derech bishl. Lo sevashel gediba chalevi mo, derech bishl asra Torah. When would you add an ingredient to a pot? When you think it's going to make a difference. But if you're putting in such a tiny amount that it's not even going to make a difference, it's a technicality. It's just not derech bishl, says the Rush. Wow. It's simply not derech bishul because it doesn't change the taste of the food. Nobody would add milk to a pot if it doesn't enhance the food. So the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Chesam and Aleph essentially says the same thing because it says basar b'chalav chidish hu, so we shouldn't apply bittel. And the Gemara says v'derech bishul asvatorah. If you read the Gemara carefully, it might be exactly the pasuk pshat in the Gemara. But now you can understand this Rashba. There's no bittel by Basav Chalav, and therefore, if it was initially derech bishul, I don't care how much you're going to mix it with afterwards. If you cooked a 12-ounce steak with an ounce of milk, that's derech bishul. You're never going to be able to be mevatel that milk because there's no bittel by basar b'chalav. That's a game changer in terms of the way you look at all of basar b'chalav. It's going to remain asr even if you removed most of the time to the point that it's totally undetectable. And that wouldn't make sense by Shari Surim, because by Shari Surim, what is there? There's bittel. By Basar B'chalav, there's no din of bittel. This assumes, like similar to what the Rambam was saying, that bittel requires a conflict, right? You have to have characteristics of heter that overwhelm the characteristics of iser. But if you have an item that's not asr, there's no characteristics of iser. So there's no conflict. It's just things that are mutter that go together. That might be the basis of this Rashba.
It's not heterohetero
anymore. Once it's already a chatzav basar, then it's mutter. Yeah, once it's already a chatzav
basar. But in this case, if you think a chatzav basar, then you're not
together. That goes to the same point, though. Meaning, are you saying, how literally do you take chatichanas nevela? Right? Is it that it becomes a nevela itself? Or maybe that's exactly. The din of chatich nas nevela is that no, we still view it as milk and meat that are together, and derech bishul is aser, but now it's never going to become batel. I mean, that is how you explain chatich nas nevela. You're assuming chatich nas nevela. Yeah, so Efshel Sochto doesn't mean that you're able to take it all out, because you're never able to take it all out. Efshel Sochto means that if you put it in the Tarovis, where now it's Shishin, Keneged, right, that's what Efshel Sochto means.
We're not dehydrating the meat. You're getting all the time in that case.
Not clear. I don't know. Beef jerky doesn't have any time.
I mean, not the time. Does it mean if you would have, let's say back to Basra Chalav, but do you have the Basra meat? The milk would drop
in.
You're dehydrating all the milk
in it,
so.
But even dehydrated meat will retain the time of whatever was cooked with it originally. Right? That's why beef jerky has time, right?
Wait, there's only time from non-liquid.
I don't know if that's true. I think the time has already worked its way into, on a chemical level, has worked its way into the molecules of the meat. I don't know, I'm not a chemist, I don't know, but you got to study food chemistry. You know, the OU sends people to, like, universities to study food chemistry. Like, there was, like, some yeshivas. I was in the OU office once, and I met this guy who lived in Lakewood for, like, 12 years, and then he went from there to University of Pennsylvania for 2 semesters to study chemistry, so that he could, so he's, like, the expert in, like, food chemistry. It's pretty amazing. When they have these conversations, I'm like, I'm lost. I don't know what they're talking about. The enzymes now, I don't even know what an enzyme is. I don't know. I'm totally lost.
Are there other reasons why someone would want to add food to a mixture apart from just flavor? Smell, taste, health? There are, like, a lot of other reasons why a shepherd
had ingredient. Right, that's true. Smell, I assume, is associated with taste, but maybe the look, chazusa, so we'll get to that here. Health, okay. Maybe, yeah.
What's the difference between the showing very important in the beginning and Moses regarding with the not being with the corn taste, like regarding whether it's the fact that you can't be bit Mavato a dover mother, or just the two things that have a head there? So what's the difference? I didn't explain it right. Meaning very important first said a lot of Rishon explained this way, and then he said Tosh explained it this way.
In terms of Rabbein Ephraim?
In terms of the Tzemer Pishtim.
Oh, in terms of Tzemer Pishtim. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, the explanation that the Onigantiv works on is that, right, so I sort of brought it back where I shouldn't have. The explanation that he works on is the idea that bittul is only something that happens to a davar aser. It's not something that ever happens to a davar mutter. Tosfos says that there's no bittul. Tosfos doesn't say that explicitly. He just says that there's no bittul by the tzemer upishtim because it's a tarovus of heter beheter. But it doesn't really explain, meaning you're right, it's the part of the same basic idea, but one is more an elaborate, a more elaborate...
So the Bosom of Chalal Kashmir work on both,
right? Yeah, yeah.
And then also, yeah. When Rebbe said that with a goy, if a goy tastes it afterwards, it doesn't matter that it doesn't taste like it anymore. I mean, we're assuming that you already squeezed out, right? Because if we didn't squeeze it out, then it probably never had any... It would probably never also...
Yeah, I mean, it's now been mixed with 50 other ounces of meat. So you've squeezed out enough that it's less than shishim, at least, in that original piece of meat. I don't know. How does this relate back to the Rashba? Yeah, so the Rashba was explaining that... No, the Rashba had two explanations of why it is that Efshel Lesochto, again, why it is that we there's no Chatich Nas Nevela by Shari Sudim, right? But whether why it would be that Efshel Lesochto is Asur, even though there's no Chatich Nas Nevela. So the first explanation is that it's a Metzias issue, that we assume that there's still enough left in it. And the second explanation is that it's not a Metzias issue, it's a Halachic issue, that you can't draw it out anymore. That once the Isser is there, the Isser cannot be drawn out. So where was I going with this? Can't apply the dinim of Bittel after already has the original Isser. So we're saying that according to the Rashba, yeah, meaning you're not going to apply the dinim of bittul because, right, meaning we're trying to explain why is it that when you originally cooked that piece of meat with milk, it became basar b'chalav, right? And now there's no way to be mevatel that chalav. So same, because when you originally cooked it, it's not about dinim of bittul. When you originally cooked it, it was derech bishul. And derech bishul, that's retarded.
We're talking about the Rashba specifically talking about the bittul.
Meaning he's explaining why it is that by basar b'chalav we're going to say chatich nasas nevela, right? By shari sum we don't, but by basar b'chalav that we do say chatich nasas nevela, right? That efshal l'socht. You're right. 1 second. So again. Rabbi Nachman would hold that Efshel Lesochto, even though Chanan doesn't apply to Shari Surim, but Efshel Lesochto is still going to be Aser. So what we're suggesting is, let me do the Chashmin over here, that Efshel Lesochto is Aser, even though Chatich Nas Nevela doesn't apply by Shari Surim. So we're saying by Basa B'Chalav, it should be the same thing, right? Why is Basa B'Chalav different? Right? Why is Efshel Lesochto? No, we're only explaining Basar B'Chalav. This doesn't explain Shari Surim. Yeah, it's a good point. Meaning it's a similar din, but it's not. It doesn't explain, right? It would be different. Yeah, it's a good point. I have to think it through again. I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote this. I have to think it through again. Just one more thing. The Rama. The Rama passes like Rabbeinu Tam, that we say there's Chatich Nas Nevela by Shari Surim, but only in two specific cases. According to Rama, there are two examples when we say Chatich Nas Nevela by Shari Surim. I'm not sure if we're going to get through all of them, but we'll get through everything. But first, in general, when non-kosher chazer, non-kosher chelev, whatever, falls into a pot of kosher meat, and it gets mixed in, if there's 60 times the chazer schmaltz, everything is going to be kosher. But once you say chatich nas nevela, if that piece of non-kosher fat stuck to a piece of meat, an isr davuk, even if there's 60 times that fat in the pot, you would need 60 times the piece of meat and not just the fat. Because you consider the entire piece of meat as a non-kosher chatich nas nevela. Again, this is what's called isur davuk, that when it's not just that a piece of chazer fell into a big chalent and got evenly mixed. it stuck onto a particular piece of meat. So that piece of meat that it stuck onto remains a chefza shalisa. And that's where we're going to say chatich nas nevela. Either because we're worried that we might raise that piece of meat and separate from the rest of the contents of the pot, and for that moment you're no longer going to have 60 times the fat, or because we assume that the kosher meat which is stuck to the fat absorbs more of the fatty flavor than the rest of the pot. We'll have to look at that Ramah carefully. The second case where we say Chanan B'Shar Yisurim was Chazer Shmaltz falls on a piece of kosher meat outside of the pot, and then that piece of meat falls into a pot with other pieces. So you need 60 times that piece of meat. So Isur Davuk is one case where we say Chatich Nas Nevela. That again, normally you have a giant piece of, you have a giant pot of chalent, and a piece of chazer falls into the giant pot of chalent. The giant pot of chalent is more than 60 times a piece of chazer. So shouldn't you say that the whole thing is batel? And the answer is yes, you do say the whole thing is batel, but two exceptions. Exception number one is that the chazer latched onto a particular piece of meat. Then you say that piece of meat becomes nevela. And case number two is the case we've been talking about the whole time, where there were two separate tarovas. The first time, the 1 ounce of chazer landed on 12 ounces of steak, and now that 13 ounce of steak slash chazer gets mixed in with 50 more ounces of kosher steak. Those are the two cases of chatich nas nevela b'shar yisurim according to the Rambam. Now going back to the first case where it sticks, the isur davuk, where the non-kosher fat stuck to a piece of kosher food in the pot. So I mentioned briefly, let's mention it again. Two explanations why you would need shishim against that entire piece of kosher meat that's in the pot. Two explanations. Explanation number one, you're worried that you might pick up that piece of meat and separate it from the rest of the contents of the pot, and for that moment, you're not going to have 60 times the fat in the pot, because since the fat is not evenly dispersed, it's connected to that piece of meat. When you lift that piece of meat, but the fat is still sitting in the chalent, and the rest, you pick up like a, you know, like one of those steaks on the bone, right? Whatever you call it, I don't know what you call those, you know, like a big, whatever, rib or something, and there's a piece of chazer that's stuck to the edge of it, and you lift it out of the pot, and now that chazer that's stuck to the edge is just sitting there in the pot, but the meat that you have in your hand is not in the pot, so now there might not be shishim anymore connected to that chazer. If the chazer just gets evenly dispersed throughout the pot, so you had shishim, but now if you could identify the chazer and you see that there's not shishim connected, that might be a problem. The other possible explanation is, we assume that the kosher meat that's stuck to the fat absorbs more of the fatty flavor than the rest of the pot, so it's a metzius issue. It's just going to have a stronger flavor. Nafkamino between them would be a case where a piece of non-kosher fat falls into a pot of meat that has shishim connected the fat, but halfway through the cooking process, the fat sticks to a piece of meat. So according to the first explanation, the piece that's stuck to the fat will become asr, because we're worried that you might temporarily elevate that meat with the non-kosher fat out of the pot. And at that moment, there's no longer shishim against the schmaltz. However, according to the second explanation, the piece of meat's going to be mutter, because only if the fat initially falls into the mixture and sticks right away to a piece of meat, do we assume that it's going to absorb more of it than everything else. But it could be that if it falls into the liquid and only later gets stuck onto the piece of meat, then the meat is going to be mutter because the shishim in the pot has already worked against that fat. Although that's questionable why we make that assumption. Okay, so that is, I guess, what we're going to do for tomorrow, or at least start with tomorrow, is try to take a look at that long Ramah in Sif Dalet. The Ramah is going to have four extra kulas that we say by Shari Surin as far as Chanan is concerned. But again, just to chazer we did today, we did basic concept of Chatich Nas Nevela, Melchogs Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. We try to explain each Shita and how we paskin the Halacha, where the Mechaber paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ramah gives two examples of where we say Chatich Nas Nevela b'Shari Surin. And we spent a little bit of time trying to figure out the notion of Efshar L'Sochta. Okay, so we'll call it a day. Yeah, they're still in my car because I didn't have anything to schlep them with, but I brought up a bunch.